into the care of the people whose duty it was to wash the corpses. People obeying an order snapped out in the dry air against a background loud with torturers and flayers of skin, where he was obliged to regard the human condition without a trace of pity, without a single possibility of any way back to life, because by then he would know for certain that all his life he had been playing with cheaters who had marked the cards and who would, in the end, strip him even of his last means of defense, of that hope of someday finding his way back home. He turned his head toward the east, once the home of a thriving industry, now nothing but a set of dilapidated and deserted buildings, watching while the first rays of a swollen red sun broke through the topmost beams of a derelict farmhouse from which the roof tiles had been stripped. I really should come to a decision. I can't stay here any longer. He snuck back under the warm duvet again and rested his head on his arm, but could not close his eyes. At first it had been the ghostly bells that had frightened him, but now it was the threatening silence that followed. Anything might happen now, he felt. But he did not move a muscle, not until the objects around him that had so far been merely listening started up a nervous conversation. The sideboard gave a creak, a saucepan rattled, a china plate slid back into the rack, at which point he turned away from the sour smell of the perspiring Mrs. Schmidt, felt with his hand for the glass of water left standing by the bed, and drained it at one gulp. Having done so, he was free of his childish terror. He sighed, wiped his sweating brow, and, knowing that Schmidt and Kraner were only just now rounding up the cattle to drive them west from the Sikesh toward the farm buyers in the west, where they would eventually receive 8 months' worth of hard-earned wages, and that this would take a good couple of hours, he decided to try and get a bit more sleep. He closed his eyes, turned on his side, put his arm around the woman, and had almost succeeded in nodding off when he heard the bells again. For God's sake! He pushed aside the duvet, but the moment his naked, calloused feet touched the stone floor, the bells suddenly stopped, as if someone had given a signal. He sat hunched on the edge of the bed, his hands clasped in his lap, till the empty glass caught his attention. His throat was dry, his right leg was suffering shooting pains, and now he didn't dare to either get up or go back under the covers. I am leaving by tomorrow at the very latest. He surveyed the vaguely functioning articles in the bare kitchen, from the cooking range filthy with burned fat and leftover scraps, to the basket without a handle under the bed, the rickety table, the dusty icons hanging on the wall, and the saucepans, his eye finally resting on the tiny window and the bare branches of the acacia bending across the Halich's house with its dented roof and teetering chimney, the smoke billowing from it, and said, I'll take what's mine and go tonight. No later than tomorrow, at any rate. Tomorrow morning. Dear God, Mrs. Schmidt cried, waking suddenly, and stared about her in the dusk, terrified, her chest heaving. But when she saw that everything looked back at her with a familiar expression, she gave a relieved sigh and slumped back on the pillow. What's the matter? Bad dreams? Futaki asked her. Mrs. Schmidt was staring at the ceiling in fright. Good Lord, really horrible dreams. She sighed again and put her hand on her heart. Such things. Me? Who'd have imagined? There I was, sitting in the room, and suddenly there was a knock at the window. I didn't dare to open it, just stood there peeking through the curtains. I only saw his back because by now he was shaking the door handle, and then his mouth as he bellowed. God knows what he was saying. He was unshaven and it seemed his eyes were made of glass. It was horrible. Then I remembered I had only given the key one turn the previous night and knew that by the time I got there it would be too late. So I quickly slammed the kitchen door, but then I realized I didn't have the key. I wanted to scream, but no sound came from my throat. Then I don't exactly recall why or how, but suddenly Mrs. Halich was at the window making faces. You know what it's like when she makes faces. And anyway, there she was, staring into the kitchen, and then, I don't know how, she vanished.